Amen. You know, Word Life Church was founded to empower people to live the life that we see in the Word of God. And I pray that all of us would hear from heaven and there will be a difference, that there will be a shift in the atmosphere that will cause you to walk in a freedom that you've never known before. You know, we can't just depend on the natural. It's never going to be your business. It's never going to be your relationships. It's never going to be your education. It's going to be Jesus and Jesus alone that's going to cause you to walk in freedom. And I pray that we get an understanding of that like never before today. The world needs to see Jesus like never before. True or not true? We are at a time when there are lost, hurting people all around us. And when you and I begin to step into what we've been called to do, freedom flows. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. You guys there? Just Terrellyn? Is anybody else with me? Jeremiah 29, 11. I know some of y'all can quote it. In fact, let's read it together. It's on the screen. Ready, read. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You know, you have a supernatural birthright that includes hope and a promised future. That hope and promised future is filled with peace. Notice it excludes evil. It says, not of evil. That was put there intentionally. Not of evil. So your promised hope, your promised future that is full of hope does not include evil. If it's good, it's God. Say that with me. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. Plain and simple. Whatever you do, don't give the devil a free pass and say things like, why is God doing this to me? God is a good God, and God only has good to give you and I. And you have to settle that. This is a promise from God. And if you don't, you'll do things like, well, you'll say things like, well, God is trying to teach me something through sickness. God, I must have messed up, and God is punishing me because of my mistakes. You know what? The price for sin has already been paid. Look at somebody and say that to them. The price of sin. Everybody look at somebody. Everybody look at somebody. You don't get to be too comfortable here this morning. The price of sin has already been paid. It's already been paid. You know what? God is not trying to get you back. God is not trying to get you for something you did back in the day or 10 minutes ago. The price of sin has been paid. Once you settle that, you can receive the goodness of God freely. All he's got for you is good. God is not in a bad mood. God is not angry. God is not on edge. God don't get hangry. You know, some of y'all know what hangry is. God's good. And he's looking to demonstrate how good he is in your life. He's looking to show himself strong in your life. You have a supernatural birthright. Let's go to the Amplified of Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. God's plan for you, your final outcome, is good. It's so important that we understand that. Don't allow your present situation to rob you of the promise that's before you. How many of you have ever gone through something? Every hand should be up right now. Every one of us has gone through something. If you're going through something right now, whatever you do, don't allow the present situation to rob you of the promised hope that we see in Jeremiah 29:11. There is a promise. You know what? God is the only person in your life that has never lied to you. You and I have never been led astray by God, your creator, your maker, the one that knows your beginning from the end. Never. All he has been trying to do is show you how good he is. You know, believe that God is real. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. This is another foundational truth that we absolutely have to settle in our hearts. We have to settle, first and foremost, that God is good and he has promised you a peaceful future that's full of hope and not evil. The second foundational truth that you and I have to put in our hearts, let's read that together. Everybody, nice and loud, ready, read. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, what I want to point out in there is you have to believe that he is. God is real. If you don't get past knowing that God is really real, there is no way you can benefit from all that he has for you. Why do I say that? Because the only part of the Bible that ever works for any of us is the part that we believe. It requires our confidence in the Word of God for you and I to benefit from the Word of God. God is never going to force us anything on us. When we believe, we can receive all that he has for us. It's so very important. The Passion Translation in that same scripture says, and without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real and that he rewards the faith of those who give all their passion and strength into seeking him. When a person says yes to Jesus, they move from death to life. Now, it's impossible for us to please God without faith, because it's faith that causes us to receive anything from God. You know, the way that you and I got saved, if you're saved, if you said yes to Jesus, if you repented and received, and you now Jesus is your Lord, the only way that happened is faith. So how can you please your Heavenly Father without a way for you to be saved? It's impossible. Everything you've ever received from God came by faith. Of course it's impossible to please God without faith, because he wants to do so much for us. He wants you healed. You know how you get healed? By faith. Of course your good Father is not pleased if you can't get saved, or you can't get healed, if you can't get delivered. It requires you and I trusting him enough, having confidence in what he said he'll do in our lives. Your ability to trust God is what will cause freedom to flow in your life. You know, the gift of salvation requires you to do what? The gift of grace requires you to do what? Let me help you out. The gift you get on your birthday requires you to do what? Receive it. If you pay for your own birthday gift, you're being tricked. If you're paying for your own Christmas gifts, that's not a gift. Family, what we have to get good at is trusting God enough to just receive. It's not good to be a giver and not a receiver. Decide to receive today. Whatever God has for you, you decide to receive it. You decide to be free from it today. It's possible. It's available. It is so available. But look up and receive. I heard the Lord say, tell them to to look up and receive from me. Don't be distracted with what's in front of you, your to-do list, the things that you have to put your hands to. The Lord is saying, look up and receive from me. I mean, that's where the answer comes from. That's where the promises go into operation. Your identity changes when you say yes to Jesus. The reason why this series is entitled Your Born Identity, when you say yes to Jesus, your identity changes. When you get born again, your identity shifts from death to life. You shift over into another atmosphere. You become a species that has never existed before. There has never been a born again you before. Everything we do, you know, we talked about, this is the reason why identity is so important. If there is no fulfillment in another man's plan. If you design a house and the builders take somebody else's blueprint, you are not going to be happy no matter how good of a job they do. If it's not your plan, you're not going to be satisfied with it. You see, fulfillment comes, provision comes when you and I are walking in His plan for our lives. And that's something that we have to do intentionally. We have to say yes to His will, to His way, and walk out the plans that He has for us to walk out. And you know, and there's somebody in here who has been struggling with feeling accepted. There's someone who's been struggling with do I add up? Am I enough? And what you need to know and understand that God accepts you. Now the creator of everything accepts you. Guess what? So what if your neighbor doesn't? So what if your brother doesn't? What does God say about you? And that's why the Word of God is so important. You know, I have seen a lot of stuff. I've seen a lot of things come and go. But I've never seen God fail. I've never seen the Word not produce fruit. People fall short. We all fall short. God never does. It makes sense to put our hope and our trust and our confidence in Him. Somebody say amen to that, because it's absolutely true. You know, we're honing in on identity, because if you don't know who you are, abuse and misuse is inevitable. If you don't know who you are, how priceless you are, how valuable you are, abuse and misuse is inevitable. You have to know that God loves you so much. If you were the only person on the planet, He still would have sent Jesus to die for you. That's how, there's nothing more valuable than the price that was paid for you to be redeemed. Not knowing who you are is critical for your victories. You know, God created you for a specific purpose. You're so unique. Think about this for a second. We were listening, I forget where I heard this, but it blows your mind when you think about, out of all the people in the world, there is no fingerprints that are the same. You are, and God knows you. God knows the amount of hair that is on your head. And I'm good for three or four that I missed, I'm sure. I'm sure I missed. That's how interested God is in you. God, your joy, your peace matters to God. You know, it's so important to realize that. You're not just another number. You're so important to God. Your identity must be realized and it should never be separated from that of Jesus Christ. You know, it's easy to admire Jesus and put yourself down. Am I telling the truth? How many of you have gotten down on yourself before? It's easy. How many of you have ever gotten down on Jesus? Miracles, walking on water. You ain't that bad, Jesus. Raising people from the dead. You ain't all that, Jesus. No, but we'll stub our toes, we'll make a mistake, we'll stumble, and we'll say, you know, how could you do that? Look at you, you're not a man of God. Or we'll give our ear, we'll lend our ear to the enemy and allow the enemy to start lying to us. And all you gotta do is agree with it. All you gotta do is agree with the lie and it becomes a reality in your life. Say this to your neighbor, never agree with a lie. Never agree with a lie. The identity that came with your decision to accept Jesus came with abundant life. Raise your hand if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Raise your hand. You know what? That decision came with abundant life. Let's go to John chapter 10 and verse 10. It came with it. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. It absolutely came with abundant life. It came with freedom. Give up on my iPad. John 10:10. Oh, it's on the screen. Let's read it together. Ready, read. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. Dear God, He has one, the Lord has one thing in mind, and that's to give you more than you can handle. The enemy has one thing in mind, and that's to destroy you. Steal, kill, and destroy. He's out to, he likes to paint a picture that it's fun, it's hanging out. But his intent is always to steal, kill, and destroy. And if your identity is wrong, your outlook is wrong. You and I have to understand that we are loved and accepted. We are worthy. If that's not our understanding, then our outlook will be, it can only be wrong. Your identity is always going to be your filter in life. How you see yourself is going to be how you think other people see you. And when you and I see ourselves the way God sees us, it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what people think. There are more people walking around that are hurt from what other people said about them than anything. How about what God says? How about the only one who loved you enough to die for you? What about His word? What about His opinion of you? Shouldn't that make more sense? Shouldn't that carry more weight? Your identity is the root of your belief. If you're born again, your born identity is supernatural. Look at somebody and say, the supernatural looks good in you. You don't have to do something in order to be someone. Please settle that forever in your heart. You don't have to do something to be someone. Everything you do comes out of who you already are. And if you said yes to Jesus, you're already loved and accepted. You're already His masterpiece. There is no fulfillment in trying to be somebody else. That's exhausting. You know how hard it is to pretend to be somebody you're not? That's exhausting. You know how easy it is to just be who you are? Be who God created you to be? All you gotta do is wake up. He said, there's no work involved. When you're trying to be somebody else that you're not, is difficult. God created you for a specific purpose. He has a plan that fits you. And that's critical. The identity that came with your decision to accept Jesus is enough to cause you to overcome in every area of your life. If you have Jesus, you are not alone. If you said yes to Jesus, you know what you're going to do? Succeed. If you said yes to Jesus, victory is yours. It's when we try to do things on our own that we get in trouble. You know, I'm reminded of a time when I was trying to figure out a marketing plan, a business strategy for my fitness business. And I was, nothing was working. And I was just staying up, wringing my hands, trying to figure it out. This wasn't working. I was wasting money. And I got so overwhelmed that I wanted to just worship God to kind of get, how have you been stressed out before? You know the best way to relieve stress is praise and worship. And I started worshiping God, and I was just in his presence, just in my office worshiping God, and he dropped an idea in my spirit. And I was, I started worshiping God some more. And then the very next day, I get a phone call. Hey, man, you still training people? Yeah, absolutely. Well, me and my family want to come and work out with you. And my own efforts had me frustrated, had me trying to figure things out. And the moment I just put my focus on him, he not only took the stress away, he brought what I was trying to figure out. And he'll do that every single time. You know why? Because what's important to you is important to him. It is absolutely important to him. You know, the amount that we choose to yield to him is the amount of that we'll receive from him. The amount that we yield to him is the amount that we'll receive from him. You know, I don't remember when it was, but I made the comment, sin has been dealt with. The reason why we're supposed to do, let's go there. Let's go to John 14, 12. I think it's John 14, 12. Greater works. John 14, 12. We're going to read that together. And this is such a insight for me. I will never not see it this way. John chapter 14 and verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, this is Jesus talking, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. How in the world is that possible? How can that be? How can you and I do the works of Jesus and greater works? You know, the revelation is, Jesus limited himself to be able to do only what a man or a woman yielded to the Holy Spirit could do as our example. Jesus didn't do what he did as God. Jesus did what he did as a man yielded to God, completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit. You know why that's so exciting? That makes it possible for us. That makes it doable. And that's why that scripture can come alive. We're supposed to do greater works. And here's the thing. Jesus was a man without sin. Jesus was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was a man who yielded to the voice of his Father. Can you do all three of those? Sin has been taken care of. You said yes to Jesus. The blood of Jesus covers you. Sin has been taken care of. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Father spoke and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit and you can yield. The reason that is so powerful is it's up to you. Look at your neighbor and say, "Will you yield?" That's all. That's the only thing hindering God's people from greater works. Well, this stuff, I mean, the greater works we can get to. How about the works of Jesus? Let's focus on the works of Jesus, then we'll get to the greater works. That's the yielding is the only thing hindering us. Dear God, family, is there not a cause? Shouldn't you and I choose to yield? My God. Let's go to Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. You know, abundant life is something that is imparted into you. When you understand you belong to Jesus, you understand that you have a hope and a promised future that is guaranteed. You know, abundant life is not just a mindset, but it's an inheritance. And once you know that it's yours, you can go and flow in an abundance. And abundance is attracted to an abundant heart. So abundance starts in your heart. You know, when we were growing up, my mother put abundance on the inside of us right in the middle of poverty. And we had no idea we were poor. My mother did an amazing job raising six children on her own. She did. I mean, we just didn't know. Like we grew up in the projects, but my mother, she washed, she ironed our clothes. We were taught to hold our heads upright, high. We were taught to look adults in their eye. We never knew. I mean, we had to look back to think, you know, I remember hearing a comedian one time talking about government cheese and how he raised up, and everybody's laughing around me, and I thought, man, I was poor. like what he's saying, that's describing me and how I grew up. But I never knew it. I had no idea. But abundance was in my heart because of my mom and what she did. I remember once my brother found $300 worth of food stamps. And man, we lived like kings for a minute. you couldn't tell us nothing. Our room was loaded with snacks and goodies, and we had a little refrigerator. I used to work at a furniture store, and I bought this little tiny refrigerator. That thing was loaded. We had stuff all in it, on top of it, stuff under the bed. But my point is, whatever is in your heart, however you identify with you, is what's coming out of you. That's why this is so important for you and I to understand our identity is in Jesus Christ. That's who you and I must determine we're going to attach our lives to. Your expectation is absolutely crucial. What do you expect? I remember, I don't know how long ago, but Terrellyn used to always say, almost always say, like, "Well, what's going to happen now?" Because things were going good, and the conversation was always, "Okay, what's up? What's coming?" You know, things are going too good. And one time I challenged her, and I said, "You know, why does something bad have to happen? You know, stop expecting bad to come. Stop expecting it not to last. Your expectation matters. What are you expecting? You know why I say things like something good is going to happen to you? Because that's your, I want to get your expectation up. Reason why I call men, men of God, men of faith and men of power is because your expectation has to come up. It matters what you expect. Romans 15, 13 says, now may the God of hope, does that say the God of depression, the God of sickness, the God of hope fill you if you're full? Is there any space for anything else? Fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Get your hope. Get your expectation cranked up. Expect something good to happen. Expect freedom. Expect deliverance. Expect joy and peace to overtake you. The world needs hope more than ever right now. You will be filled with joy and peace when you believe. When you choose Him over the situation. Believing and trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit always brings hope. Your hope level is an indicator of what you believe. If you don't have hope, all that means is you're believing a lie. Because when you believe a lie, it brings doubt. When you bring truth, when you believe truth, it fills you with hope. Romans chapter 4, verse 18 in the Passion Translation says, against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. Look at your neighbor and say, believe the promise and expect God to fulfill it. Let's read on. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Your descendants will be so many that they will be impossible to count. Family, when it looks hopeless, when you feel hopeless, when you're going through something, that's the time to decide to take God at his word. That's the time to grab hold of the promise and expect God to bring you through, because his declaration over you will come to pass also. God is asking us to trust him to validate his word in our lives. He's asking us to believe him over the situation and the circumstances. God's promises are forever. Faith believes, this is something I said a couple weeks ago, and it came up in my spirit again, and make sure you highlight this in your notes, or you write it somewhere else, because faith believes in promises that are higher than facts. That is such a powerful revelation, because we don't deny facts, but faith believes in a promise that supersedes that fact. And when you and I decide to trust God over the situation, we'll attach ourselves with a promise and not bind ourselves to the facts. Listen to this. God became a man and lived within humanity so you could receive him and live within deity. What an awesome exchange. What a undeserving exchange. You and I didn't do anything to earn that exchange. He came, limited himself within humanity so that you and I can walk in the power of deity. I'll take that deal every day of the week. The life of Christ dwells on the inside of you. Jesus restricted himself to what could be done by any other believer. Make a decision today to walk like Jesus. Make a decision today to yield to his truth, to yield to the power that's on the inside of you. Yield to what he is saying to you. What is God saying to you? Yield to that. You know, there is a person of glory living on the inside of you. You don't lack anything. You have everything you need to succeed, to flourish in the kingdom of God. Let's talk about how do we do this. Let's wrap this up with our application. How do I tap into supernatural birthright? How do I tap into my supernatural birthright? If you have your notes, we'll go through them one by one. Don't have your notes, it's in the app, and it'll be on the screen too. How to tap into my supernatural birthright. Number one says what? Desire a fresh encounter with God. You know, there is nothing more important than that. You know, if you've been serving God for a while, there's nothing more important than a fresh encounter. What was the last thing God said to you? What was the last instructions God gave you? When was the last time you were overwhelmed by his presence? Desire a fresh encounter. Our awareness of God and his kingdom must be greater than our awareness of the enemy. It must be greater than what's going on the outside. Number two says what? Realize you do not walk alone. My God, you are not alone. You are empowered by the one who is limitless. Number three, be God inside minded. Like I said, there is a person of glory on the inside of you. Deity abides on the inside of you. Live aware of God's presence. The Bible says, with God, all things are possible. You know, the realm of the infinite dwells on the inside of you, and it's available to you. Number four. You know, it's up to you. You know, don't get caught up in saying, man, this world's crazy. This world's so dark. Man, this world is so evil. This world is so... Be the difference. You are an agent of change. You are an ambassador of heaven. You know, God is able to take care of everything that concerns you. You know, I don't want you to think or feel because of a past experience that God is limited. Keep your expectation high. Make a decision on the inside of you that what God says is more real than what you see and what you're experiencing. And he's going to show himself strong in your life. You'll see the manifestation of God's grace, God's hand on your life. Be the light in darkness. Your acts of obedience always ministers hope and brings light and drives away darkness. Number five. Can we agree that the world is desperate for flavor? We have the privilege of representing another world. We have the privilege of ushering in the dominion of heaven. Number six. Trust God. Go with him when you're in need. Go to him when you're in need, not away from him. And all of us are in need. Go to him daily. Trust him daily. You know, this is such a wild realization. You are the only part of creation that has God's image. That's what he thinks about you. There is nothing else in creation that has God's image. That's how special you are. Number seven. Be led, not driven. Be led by the Holy Spirit, not driven by fear. Don't allow fear to drive you. Don't allow fear to move you into different decisions. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You know, I provide these notes so that you could feed on them during the week, because one of the things the enemy tries to do is steal the word when it's sown into your heart. So I want you to have something you can just meditate on, because God will always give you revelation of his word. You put time in his word. I'm going to have the prayer team come at this time. I don't know what needs are represented here, but I know there are needs in here. And as the prayer team begins to move, I'm going to pray for the Spirit of God to just begin to minister to hearts and to create an atmosphere of freedom. If you have a need, make a decision to yield to whatever the Holy Spirit says for you to do. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray over those who are watching online. This applies to you as well. And I pray for those who are here. If you have a need, God is here to meet that need, whatever it is. If you're struggling mentally, if you're tossing and turning at night and don't have peace, if you need healing in your body, it doesn't matter what it is. If you need healing in your body, I'm encouraging you to take a step of faith and come and be prayed for. Give us the opportunity to add our faith with your faith and stand on the word of God and see healing take place. You know, I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen legs grow. I've seen people walk out of wheelchair. I've seen people leave canes behind. We serve a God that truly hears and answers our prayer. What a wonderful opportunity to be made free. If you have a need, will you begin to come now? Will you come forward and give us the opportunity to pray? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, we invite you to come and give your life to Jesus. If you just want their relationship strengthened, if you just want someone to pray with you, give us that opportunity. We would love the opportunity to pray with you. You know, we believe that God is able. We believe that the power of God is available to take care of whatever the need is. And as you surrender and yield, God will do what he said he'll do. Father, we thank you for freedom. We thank you for wholeness. In the mighty name of Jesus, we boldly declare deliverance, freedom, healing. We declare divine health is loosed in this place. We thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we trust you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We're so grateful. It's you that strengthens us. It's you that saves us and delivers us. We look to you now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, will you just begin to thank God for the answers? Just right where you are, just begin to thank God. Begin to thank Him for the answer. Thank Him. There's nothing like a grateful heart. Begin to thank Him for freedom. Thank Him for wholeness. Thank Him for the manifestation of peace, love, joy. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we're so grateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for an opportunity to focus on you. Thank you for an opportunity to come into your presence, to hear your word. Thank you for the privilege that we are free. We can freely come and receive from you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray over every household as we dismiss. We thank you for leading and guiding us. We thank you for your favor. We thank you for your face shining on us. We thank you, Lord, for grace deposits and truth impartations. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.